All right, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order, and want to welcome all of you to our September 9th board meeting. We have a fairly long agenda tonight, but we're going to try to get through it peacefully, and glad to have you here and come back again. Now, if you'd join us in Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for the invocation, Chaplain Woody Fisher will give the invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this meeting tonight. I thank you that we live in a nation where we have the privilege of electing our leadership. And so I pray for this group of supervisors tonight as they lead this meeting. I'm sure there are some diverse opinions represented here tonight that will require wisdom in negotiating the issues. So we just pray for them. Give them wisdom and grace to sort things out and help people come to suitable resolutions. And Father, we thank you that we live in this nation. We think about these upcoming presidential elections, and there are so many countries around the world where their leaders are not elected, and a change of leadership and authority results in bloodshed and civil war. And yet you have blessed us by allowing us to live in a country where a change of leadership can take place in an orderly and a respectable manner, and we're grateful for that. And so we thank you. I pray your blessing upon this meeting tonight, and we come to you through the grace and mercy of our Lord. Amen.
Mr. Manager, I believe we have some minutes for this evening for approval.
We do, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. We have several items for your consideration under approval of minutes. These would be the minutes of July 22, 2008, both regular and special meeting minutes. Also, August 12, 2008, both regular and special meeting minutes. And the September 2, 2008 special meeting. These minutes have been prepared. They have been transmitted to you for consideration. Motion would be in order.
Okay, we've all received these minutes, so are there any changes or recommendations? If not, a motion for approval would be in order.
Move approval of the minutes, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Denai, second by Ms. O'Bannon. All these minutes be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no, and they are approved. All right, Mr. Manager, do you have comments this evening?
I have no comments this evening, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, that's quick. How about board members? Any board members have comments this evening? Well, we can't let this go completely by. I've got some good news that hasn't been reported in the media yet, but last week our Metropolitan Convention and Visitors Bureau was, and we are a big participant in that bureau. I think we fund about 45% of that, Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, we were chosen by the Southeast Tourism Society as the number one convention bureau in 14 southern states. And so that's a huge honor for our convention bureau, and I'm proud to report that to you. It's your tax dollars are helping support tourism and conventions in the metro area, and they're doing a good job for you. So that's good news. Thank you. Any other comments? Board members? Okay, I guess we can recognize the news media tonight. Melody Martin from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Melody, there you are. And Tom Lapis from Hennecke Citizen. Tom, thank you all for being here. Now, I guess that takes us into some proclamations.
It does, Mr. Chairman. We have four proclamations for consideration this evening. The first is proclamation for Constitution Week, which will be September the 17th to the 23rd, 2008. I'm going to ask the Honorable Frank J. Thornton, representative of the Fairfield District, to proceed to the podium. There will be a number of individuals joining him for this proclamation. Mr. Sean Walsh, who is the Society President of the Colonel Alexander Spotswood Society, Children of the American Revolution. He will be joined by Susan Walsh, Senior Society President, Alicia Fox, Senior Society First Vice President, Brian Akers, Society Second Vice President, Jeffrey Warble, Society Recording Secretary, William Warble, the Society Curator, Robinette Warble, the Senior Society Recording Secretary, Bev Alexander, the Senior Society Chaplain, and Callie Fox, the Society Historian. Would those individuals please come forward? They're going to take a picture of you, so Jennifer, you want to arrange them like you would have?
All right, here.
I'm sorry.
Nice to see you.
Okay.
What is more redemptive than the respect, appreciation, and showing homage to one's Constitution? It gives me a great pleasure to read this proclamation, Constitution Week, September the 17th to the 23rd, 2008. Whereas, when the delegates of the 1787 Constitutional Convention began working on the document that would become the United States Constitution, they understood that a great democracy must be built on the twin foundations of national consent to a federal government and respect for individual rights. And whereas these founding fathers were aware of the inherent dangers and concentrating too much power in one person, branch, or institution, and wisely crafted a government that balanced the functions and authority of a federal system among three separate but equal branches, the executive, legislative, and judicial. And whereas, to ensure a further check and balance on central powers, the framers granted citizens the right to vote, thereby giving them the power to express political preferences peacefully and to effect change in our government. And whereas the convention delegates ratified the Constitution on September the 17th, 1787, and submitted it to the states for approval. And whereas, after much discussion among the original states, the Bill of Rights was created and as an amendment to the Constitution to thwart the fear of tyranny, excessive centralization of power, loss of local control. And whereas, these 10 amendments provided a clear set of limits on federal power and establish protected rights to American citizens. And whereas today our nation celebrates the longest living written constitution in world history. And whereas our republic would flounder were it not for the faith and confidence Americans place in the Constitution, so it is appropriate that we continue to honor the spirit of this enduring document as we have for the past 221 years. And whereas the Congress of the United States by joint resolution on February the 29th, 1952 established September the 17th as Citizenship Day. And by joint resolution on August the 2nd, 1956, requested that the President proclaim the week beginning September 17 and ending September 23rd each year as Constitution Week. And whereas the National Society of the Children of the American Revolution, NSCAR, which is America's oldest patriotic and hereditary organization for children ages birth to 21, realizes that our children are the future of this great society and is committed to the training of young citizens in true patriotism and loyal reverence for our flag and country. And whereas a local chapter of NSCAR, the Colonel Alexander Spotswood Society, Children of the American Revolution, is the oldest children's patriotic organization serving Henrico County and will be celebrating its 85th anniversary on February the 22nd, 2009. Therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes September the 17th, 2008 as Citizenship Day and September the 17th to the 23rd, 2008 as Constitution Week and offers a special copy of this proclamation to the Colonel Alexander Spotswood Society, Children of the American Revolution, in acknowledgement of the 85th year of this venerable organization and the continued growth and encouragement of young patriots in the county of Henrico and the Commonwealth of Virginia. David A. Cackley, Chairman, Barry R. Lawrence, Clerk. Although it was long, I'm sure it was worth it.
I want to thank the County Board of Supervisors for the proclamation, and I'm very proud that the Children of the American Revolution has been around for over 100 years, and we are the oldest patriotic organization for children. And Richard, as you know, our children are our future. Thank you so much for the proclamation. Thank you for allowing us, everyone, get out and vote. I don't care how you vote, just vote. Because there are a lot of people, including my children, who are fighting for that right for you to continue to be able to vote and have that right. And we are all descendants in our society of people who fought in the Revolutionary War. Had it not been for them, our English would be different. And by now we might be speaking German. So, thank you again. And yes, it was long, but I really do appreciate it.
I hadn't been called Richard since my mother called me Richard.
I've known you too long to make me a vulgar.
Mr. Chairman, our second proclamation for this evening is for Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month, which would be September 2008. There will also be a number of individuals to come to the podium. The presentation of the proclamation will be made by the Honorable David A. Cackley, Chairman of the Board of Supervisors, representing the Three-Job District. Coming to the podium to join Mr. Cackley will be Michael D. O'Connor, our Executive Director of the Henrico Area Mental Health and Retardation Services, joined by the Honorable Catherine C. Hammond, Judge of the Henrico County Drug Court, the Honorable Michael L. Wade, Sheriff, Stacy Hamilton, Program Manager, Adult Substance and Abuse Services, Henrico Area Mental Health and Rehabilitation Services, and also Patricia A. Shaw, who is our Drug Court Administrator. If these individuals would come forward.
Good
All right, thank you all for being here. I'd like to read this proclamation on the Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month for September of 2008, and then I have some copies that I'd like to give you. And the proclamation reads, whereas substance abuse, co-occurring mental disorders, and coexisting physical illnesses are major health problems that affect millions of Americans of all ages, races, and ethnic backgrounds, and whereas these problems exist in all communities and have huge medical, societal, and economic costs, and whereas people with substance use and other related disorders can and do recover, and they deserve access to the necessary services to begin their recovery, and whereas thousands of health care providers have dedicated their lives to the recovery process and to the education of the public about alcoholism, drug dependence, co-occurring disorders, and treatment issues, and whereas the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration within the United States Department of Health and Human Services, the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, and the Henrico Area Mental Health and Retardation Services Board are encouraging local participation in National Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month during September 2008. And whereas Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month offers those involved in substance abuse treatment an opportunity to educate citizens, community organizations, public officials, and civic leaders about the effectiveness of substance abuse treatment from both societal and financial perspectives, and now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes September 2008 as Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month, and calls upon Henrico citizens to acknowledge this year's theme, Join the Voices of Recovery, Real People, Real Recovery, and signed by Chairman Dave Cackley and Clerk Barry Lawrence. So, thank you all for being here and what you do in these very important programs, and September is a special month for you, and we're glad to acknowledge that. So, thank you.
Thank you very much to the Board of Supervisors. On behalf of the Circuit Court and the District Court, I want to thank you for supporting a creative solution to problems of crime and substance abuse. And if you have just a minute, we have a participant from our Drug Court, Mr. Clyde Harrison, who is in recovery from addiction, and he wanted to say a few words. Mr. Harrison?
Hello, my name is Clyde. I'm an addict. I was born here in Richmond in 1964. Started using drugs at an early age, maybe about 14, I say. It progressed on. As it got worse, I started to get into trouble. And that led me to the Henrico County Drug Court after I violated from getting out of the penitentiary. As of now, my clean date is October the 27th, 2007. I have not used drugs or alcohol since that date. So thank you for your time and Henrico County Drug Court. And NA and a high power. Thank you.
Members of the board, Mr. Manager, I just want to thank you also. A healthy community addresses this problem and helps people that want a recovery like this gentleman to do so. So you're really to be applauded for your leadership in supporting the programs that are represented up here. So thank you very much.
Chairman, members of the board, our third proclamation is kind of ironic, but it is that. It is a proclamation for Preparedness Month, September 2008. The presentation of the proclamation will be made by the Honorable James B. Donati, Jr., the Verona District Supervisor. persons accepting the proclamation, Anna M. McCray, who is the Deputy Coordinator of Emergency Management, Division of Fire. She will be joined by Kenneth L. Dunn, the Assistant Chief of Administration, Division of Fire, Colonel Henry W. Stanley, Jr., our Chief of Police, and Augustine W. Doe, the Medical Reserve Corps Coordinator for the NRICO Health Department. If you would come forward, please.
Evening. Anna, how are you? Good to see you. Hey, Chief. I'm sure everyone in here has been affixed to the television for the last week or two, watching the tracks of the various hurricanes that have been coming up the Gulf and the Atlantic Ocean. I'd like to say that I think we're very blessed to live in a locality, in a county that has the wherewithal in the great departments. These standing right behind me, and others too, public utilities and public works. When we do have disasters, how quick and how responsive these folks are to our citizens. And also, I think it's good to know that we are very fortunate to be in a county that has the financial wherewithal to help and assist with the cleanups, then wait for FEMA to provide those reimbursements to us. I know the storms that we had what, 3 or 4 years ago, I think we just recently, Mr. Manager, got our reimbursements from FEMA, so it takes a long time, and we're talking about millions of dollars, and it's good, and it's a good feeling to know that we have the wherewithal to meet those cleanup services when these disasters take place. So with that, I would like to read this proclamation in Record Preparedness Month, September 2008. Whereas one of the most profound duties of government is ensuring the safety and security of its citizens from emergencies and disasters of all kinds, and whereas large-scale emergencies and disasters affecting Henrico County include inland effects from tropical storm system, wildland fires, flooding, tornadoes, drought, and numerous smaller yet significant events that occur daily across the county, and whereas all citizens have a responsibility to contribute to their own safety and security as a part of the larger effort by the county to strengthen its ability to prepare for, prevent, respond to, and recover from unexpected emergencies and disasters in cooperation with the Commonwealth of Virginia and the national government, and whereas Henrico citizens can greatly reduce the potential for death, injury, property loss by taking a few simple steps such as putting together a disaster kit, making an emergency plan, and keeping informed. And whereas citizens' preparedness activities are supported by a wide range of local and state initiatives, including Virginia Corps, Citizen Corps, and its five programs, Community Emergency Response Team, Fire Corps, Medical Reserve Corps, Neighborhood Watch, and Volunteers and Police Service. Various training opportunities and ongoing public education campaigns focus on crime, health, emergency management, and fire safety. Whereas the combined actions of local, state, and federal agencies working in partnership with an informed and ready private sector and citizenry can translate the fear of unexpected emergencies and disasters into proactive preparedness that improves the lives, safety, and security of all Henrico citizens. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes September 2008 as Henrico Preparedness Month, and calls this observance to the attention of all Henrico citizens, and is signed by our chairman, David A. Cackley, and attested by our clerk, Barry L. Lawrence. And I would like to present these to you, gentlemen.
As always, thank you very much for your support of the various Citizen Corps programs and emergency preparedness programs we have here in the county. We're very fortunate in that we have such a great working relationship with the health department, with the police department, to help make sure that citizens are prepared and know what to do in times of disasters. And as the manager commented, it is rather ironic that this month is National Preparedness Month, and my phone has been ringing off the hook since Thursday at least for folks looking for information about how to be better prepared and what to do and how to put together a kit. So, as always, we appreciate your leadership and your support of our programs. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, Mr. Manager, I just want to point out that our Chief of Police, Colonel Stanley, is on the Secure Commonwealth Panel, which is, of course, one of those things that uses... the reason I'm bringing this up is because I sit on an interoperability of emergency communications panel, and we advise the emergency communications folks, and we're doing such a good job in Richmond area, Central Virginia area, and in Henrico on the interoperability of our emergency communications, that we get called in this area to go to other places in the country to tell them how well we do it. I just want to point that out, that Colonel Stanley's on that bigger panel that is for the whole state.
Yeah. One other thing I was wondering about, Mr. Manager, does emergency preparedness include running two NASCAR races in the same day?
Yes, it does.
That's a hard task.
That's why we learn how to do those evacuations, is because we have those practices a couple of times a year.
Well, they did a fine job in a long, long day's work on Sunday.
They did, Ms. Chairman, and not to belabor the point, but because of the time upstairs in your work session, I do have a paper to ask you to consider adding by unanimous consent that, in essence, ratifies my declaration on the emergency efforts that we took on last week. So we will get to that as a unanimous consent paper. Last proclamation for this evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, is a proclamation for Sickle Cell Disease Awareness Month, September 2008. Presentation of the proclamation will be made by the Honorable Patricia S. O'Bannon, who is Vice Chairman of the Board of Supervisors and representative of Tuckahoe District. I will ask George Harris Carter, who is the conference chairman of the Sickle Cell Association of Richmond, Oscar, to come forward.
And I will be doing a presentation to this group on Friday to welcome them to Henrico County, and they're having their conference here on Friday. And some of the same things I'm going to say Friday is welcome to Henrico, and I hope everybody goes shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing to do when you're here. Sickle Cell Disease Awareness Month is September 2008. Whereas sickle cell disease is an inherited blood disorder that causes pain, infection, disability, economic strain, and even death. And whereas the Sickle Cell Disease Association of America has reported that sickle cell disease is responsible for about 750,000 hospitalizations a year at a cost of approximately $475 million. And whereas it is estimated that more than 80,000 Americans are living with sickle cell disease, including 1 in 375 African Americans, 1 in 1,100 to 1,400 Hispanics, and 1 in 58,000 Caucasians. And whereas the sickle gene is also found in people from South and Central America, the Middle East, and the Mediterranean, and whereas sickle cell trait, the healthy carrier state for sickle cell disease, occurs in approximately 8% of African Americans, and whereas it is projected that more than 2 million Americans are sickle trait carriers, and nearly 4,000 Virginians are living with sickle cell disease, and whereas since Virginia's newborn screening program was established in 1989, an average of 75 newborns have been diagnosed each year with this disease. And whereas sickle cell screening is offered through the Henrico Health Department in both family planning and maternity clinics, and whereas Sickle Cell Chapters of Virginia Incorporated, SCCV, a nonprofit community-based organization, has worked closely and cooperatively with health professionals and the general public to develop a health policy and plan of action concerning the impact of sickle cell disease, and whereas Sickle Cell Association of Richmond, referred to as OSCAR, O-S-C-A-R, is a member of SCCV and was formed on July 1st, 2008, as a result of the merger of three sickle cell organizations in the Greater Richmond region for the purpose of enhancing sickle cell awareness and education to the public. Supportive services and resources to sickle cell clients and to their families and to aid in health organizations in the promotion of sickle cell programs and projects. And whereas, on September 12, 2008, SCA of Richmond, Oscar, will host the 30th annual statewide sickle cell conference in Henrico County at the Sheraton Richmond West Hotel, with SCCV serving as the sponsor for this day-long seminar. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes September 2008 as Sickle Cell Disease Awareness Month, calls this observance to the attention of all Henrico families, and welcomes the 30th annual statewide sickle cell conference to our locality. Signed by David Cackley, a chairman, and attested to by Barry Martz, a clerk. Thank you for coming.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank the board and the county of Henrico for this proclamation, and thank you in advance for being with us on Friday at our conference. Just to give you a bit more of an idea of how sickle cell affects the county of Henrico, based on population, there are approximately 200 cases of sickle cell disease in just the county of Henrico. Sickle cell trait, there's approximately 6,400 cases. So these are numbers that I would like for people to kind of absorb and think about the fact that the impact goes far beyond, because when people who have sickle cell trait, two persons get together, they have a child, that child has a 1 in 4 chance of having sickle cell disease. And with the population the way it is today, we have the potential for these numbers growing far beyond what we have now. So I want to thank Henrico County. This is a very complete proclamation, and it says a lot. And I noticed some of the people in the audience really seem to be taking in the information that was here. And you have done tonight, in this case, more than sometimes we can do in other cases. And, you know, we listen to our leaders. And when you issue something of this nature, people listen and pay attention to the numbers and the facts that are in here. And I want to thank you, and look forward to seeing all of you again in the future. And as a sickle cell client, I hope to be around a lot longer and keep on kicking. Mm-hmm. But on a lighter note, I would just like to say the County of Henrico Police Force always does a very good job with the NASCAR races. You could teach the state police how to do as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Manager, that concludes the proclamation for now we're moving into some appointments.
We do, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We move into resignations and appointments for this evening. The first item for your consideration, 249-08. This is a resolution for appointment of members to the Cable Television Advisory Committee. This paper would appoint one individual to the advisory committee for a term which would expire on December 31st, 2008, or thereafter when his successor shall have been appointed and qualified. From the Fairfield District, this paper would appoint Johnny E. Moore. Motion would be in order. So move.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Thornton, second by Mr. Donati. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, is he here this evening? Yes.
Thank you.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 250-08. This is a resolution for a resignation of a member from the Local Emergency Planning Committee. This paper accepts the resignation of Suzanne T. Roberts from the Local Emergency Planning Committee as the Emergency Communications Representative. Motion would be in order.
This resolution.
Second.
Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Thornton to accept the resignation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Then move on.
Next item, item 251-08 is a resolution. This is for a nomination of a member to the Local Emergency Planning Committee. This paper will nominate the individual to the Local Emergency Planning Committee for the unexpired term expiring on December 31st, 2008, thereafter, and his successor shall have been appointed and qualified. This would be the replacement for Ms. Roberts. It would be the Emergency Communications Representative. It would be Stephen L. Weeks in Michael County Division of Police.
Move resolution.
Second.
Moved by Ms. O'Bannon and second Mr. Knight to make this appointment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Let's be here this evening.
Item 252-08 is a resolution for resignation of a member from the Henrico Area Mental Health and Rehabilitation Services Board. This paper accepts the resignation of James A. Martin from the Henrico Area Mental Health and Rehabilitation Services Board as a Brooklyn District Representative. Motion would be in order.
Move resolution.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton to accept this resignation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Item 253-08 is a resolution for appointment of a member. This, of course, to the Henrico Area Mental Health and Rehabilitation Services Board. This paper appoints one individual to that board for the unexpired term ending December 31st, 2009, thereafter when her successor shall have been appointed and qualified. From the Brooklyn District, Joyce A. Hand. Motion would be in order.
Move resolution.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton to appoint Ms. Joyce Hand. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Okay, Mr. Manager, we're down into our public hearing zoning cases for this evening.
We are, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We do move into your public hearings for consideration. There are two items which are being requested for consideration of deferral. They happen to be the first two items on your agenda, so we will ask for consideration of that first. The first item, 254-08, being C-64C-06 in the Brooklyn District. This is Wister Creek. It is a request to conditionally rezone from R3 One Family Residence District to RTHC Residential Townhouse District Conditional, approximately 20.4 acres, located on the south line of Wister Road and approximately 142 feet west of Walkinut Drive. A request has been made to defer this item until October 14th.
Okay. This zoning case is being requested to be deferred until October 14th. Is there anybody in the audience who is opposed to that deferral?
Mr. Chairman, hearing no opposition, I move we follow the request of the applicant and defer this case.
Second. Okay, motion by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton to defer this case until October 14th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The case is deferred.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 255-08, being C-29C-08, also in the Brooklyn District. This is 1241 Associates. It is a request to conditionally rezone from O3C, Office District Conditional, to R2AC, One Family Residence District Conditional, approximately 3.6 acres, located on the east line of Impala Drive at its intersection with Impala Place. The request is being made to defer this item until November the 12th, 2008.
Okay, you've heard the case described, and there is a motion to defer, or there is a request to defer this case until November 12th. Anybody in opposition to that deferral?
Seeing no opposition, Mr. Chairman, I move we follow the request of the applicant and defer this case to the November 12th meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton to defer this case until November 12th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Case deferred.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, for your consideration this evening is 256-08, being P-13-08 in the Barana District. This is Richmond 20 megahertz. It is a request for a provisional use permit under Chapter 24 of the County Code in order to construct a 151.8-foot-high flagpole-style telecommunications tower and related equipment located on the west line of Recreation Road and approximately 1,200 feet south of its intersection with Newmarket Road. The Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. More.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. The applicant is proposing to construct a 151.8-high communication tower at the American Legion Post 233 located at 8088 Recreation Road. The property is zoned A1 and lies within the Airport Safety Overlay District. The adjacent uses are primarily civic uses with the exception of two large acreage lots with single-family homes to the west. The 2010 Land Use Plan recommends open space and recreation for the property. This request would be consistent with the planned siting policy to encourage towers on land zoned agriculture and not planned or used for residential purposes. However, the plan does discourage towers within 1,400 feet of Route 5, discourages towers within that location of 1,400 feet unless a stealth design is used to mitigate potential visual impacts. The proposed location of the tower would be approximately 1,200 feet from Route 5. The applicant does propose a stealth tower designed as a flagpole. All antenna arrays would be concealed within the interior of the pole, and a 20-foot by 30-foot flag would be flown on top. The height of the tower would allow up to two additional users. Existing trees on the site and within the surrounding area would assist in screening the tower from most vantage points in the area. Because of the tower's stealth design, stealth as a flagpole, limited visibility, and location away from more dense residential neighborhoods, the request would be consistent with the goals of the land use plan. The tower would also provide co-location opportunities, which have been in higher demand in this area. Staff recommends support of this request with the 15 recommended conditions in the staff report. Planning Commission recommended support of this request at their August 14, 2008 meeting. This concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you may have.
All right, any questions by board members for Ms. Moore?
The only question I had is in here, and I know that when you leave a flag up, you have to have low, it has to be lit.
Yes, ma'am.
So when you say low-level directional lighting, how bright is that? I guess it's just...
The applicant basically have to deal with the flag code of the U.S. etiquette for flag, and so it would not be bright to produce glare on adjacent properties. It would have to be uplit enough to light the flag throughout the night.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, would you see if there's any opposition in the audience or anyone that has any questions needs to be answered? Please?
Thank you, Mr. Tonight. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience tonight that has any opposition or any concerns or questions that need to be answered regarding this POD? Anybody?
Okay.
Anybody's happy with it? Okay.
This just happens to be a flagpole that has antennas in it, right?
That's right.
All right. Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, I move that we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and grant the request.
With conditions, 1-15?
Yeah, with the conditions.
Second.
All right. There's a motion by Mr. Denai, supported by, seconded by Ms. O'Bannon, to approve this POD as conditioned.
With conditions, 1-15.
Yeah, as all called conditions.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, a provisional use permit.
Provisional use permit.
Like you said, POD. That's provisional use permit.
P-U-P.
P-U-P.
Provisional use permit. Okay, all in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no? Thank you.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 257-08, being C-27C-08 in the Three Chomp District. This is the Peck Company. A request to amend property conditions accepted with rezoning case C-1C-86. Located in the northeast line of Malin Drive, approximately 250 feet east of its intersection with Stillman Parkway. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Ms. Moore?
Thank you again. This is a request to amend Proffer 8 accepted with rezoning case C1C86 in order to increase the maximum permitted site coverage from 65% to 70%. The subject property is located at 9816 Malin Drive and is zoned O2C. The property is improved with a one-story, 13,350-square-foot office building and is part of the Stillman Place 2 office development. The 2010 land use plan recommends office for the site. As illustrated here on this unproffered conceptual plan, the applicant wishes to install approximately 30 additional parking space and a drive aisle behind the existing office building. And this would be to accommodate a prospective medical tenant. Replacement of landscaping that's currently here with the drive aisle would result in a site coverage that exceeds the 65% maximum coverage. The additional parking proposed with this request would be provide flexibility to attract a wider range of potential office tenants. And the parking lot expansion would be within the interior of the site, and therefore the visual impacts would be minimal. In addition, the perimeter landscaping along Malin Drive would remain intact. This request is consistent with the 2010 plan's recommendation for office use and would be compatible with the surrounding office developments. For these reasons, staff supports this request. The Planning Commission recommended approval of this request at their August 14, 2008 meeting. This concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right. Any questions by board members? If not, this request has been reviewed for the applicant by the staff, and the staff is comfortable that this is a minor change in one proffer to allow this business to expand. And is there anybody in the audience tonight that may be in opposition or have any questions regarding this requested proffer change? If not, a motion to that effect would be in order.
I move we accept the recommendation of the Planning Commission and approve case C-27-08.
Second. Motion by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Denai, that this zoning case be approved. This proper change. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Okay, thank you.
Item 258-08 being C-28C-08, also in the Three Chomp District. This is Twin Hickory Stables. It is a request to conditionally rezone from A1 Agriculture District, R3C, One Family Residence District Conditional, R4C, One Family Residence District Conditional, and also C1 Conservation District, all to R3C, One Family Residence District Conditional. Approximately 46.7 acres, located on the southwest line of the Chickahominy River and bisected by the proposed Holman Ridge Road Extended between Twin Hickory Road and Lamore Drive.
Thank you. This request would allow the development of a single-family subdivision with a maximum of 91 lots. The subject site is adjacent to Wyndham Forest Neighborhoods and Rivers Edge Elementary School, and Holman Ridge Road extended transverses through the middle of the site, and the property does also have a 196-foot-high telecommunication tower on its eastern border. The applicant has submitted revised proffers, copies of which you just received. Basically, there are five revisions, which I will go over momentarily during this presentation. All homes would have a minimum finished floor area of 2,250 square feet and would contain a two-car garage. Proffer 3 has been revised to state at least 33% of the garages would be side or rear loaded. As shown on this conceptual plan, the applicant is proffered to construct the extension of Holman Ridge Road. In addition, 20-foot wide green belts with sidewalks would be installed along both sides of this roadway. Proffers 12 and 20, which address these features, have been revised to clarify that Holman Ridge Road would be the only road connecting to adjacent developments and that a landscape plan including street trees would be submitted for the proposed greenbelt areas. The applicant has also revised Proffer 16, which now commits to a minimum lot width of 85 feet for 50% of the lots within the development. Proffer 18 limits construction hours to 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. This proffer item also addresses construction traffic, which has been slightly revised for implementation purposes. Construction traffic would not be permitted to access the property from Twin Hickory Road and Holman Ridge Road before 8 a.m. while school is in session. The 2010 Land Use Plan recommends Suburban Residential 2, Urban Residential, and Environmental Protection Area. The proposed use and density of 1.95 units per acre are consistent with these designations and would be in keeping with the land use trends established by previous rezonings in the immediate area. The proffers submitted by the applicant provide development assurances that meet or exceed the accepted proffers that govern the adjacent Wyndham Forest neighborhoods. Therefore, staff supports this request, and the Planning Commission recommend approval of this request at their August 14, 2008 meeting. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right. Any questions by board members regarding this zoning case? If not, the staff has recommended this case along with the Planning Commission. There have been at least two neighborhood meetings in which the applicant and the staff and the citizen have, I think, pretty much worked out concerns, and there's been a lot of cooperation in that regard. But is there anybody still here tonight that would like to comment or has opposition or questions? Yeah, we do have at least one, two people. Okay, let's hear those comments, and then we'll see if we need to hear the case. Okay. Yeah, come on around here.
As you come forward, man, if you would identify yourself for the board supervisors.
Yep.
Where you get up here, Ms. Buffett.
Very loud. I'm Kathy Bercher. I'm the PTA president of Rivers Edge Elementary School. I'm speaking on behalf of the executive committee, and we represent nearly 700 members at our school. Rivers Edge Elementary fronts Holman Ridge Road and abuts this property. We actually have no problem with the actual development, and in fact have found the folks that are working with the family who's selling this property very responsive and very helpful. Our problem is with the planned extension of Holman Ridge Road and its intersection with Twin Hickory Road. This intersection will become a busy four-way intersection during school opening and dismissal hours and is currently unguarded. Rivers Edge has a very large walker population, one of the largest in Henrico County. Most of the planned homes in this proposed new development will be added to our non-transportation zone. This will increase the number of 5 to 12-year-old children who are not provided transportation to school and are considered walkers. Our school has assigned only one crossing guard who is stationed at the intersection of Holman Ridge Road and Chapel Ridge Court. Chapel Ridge Court is a through street, not a court. The crossing guard at this intersection is completely necessary. The unguarded crosswalk at the Holman Ridge Road Twin Hickory intersection is at the front of our bus loop entrance and exit. About one-third of our walkers must cross through this intersection to get onto school property. The parents and the administration of Rivers Edge have considered this intersection dangerous for quite a while and have worked with the Henrico County Police Department and the public schools to address the potential danger to our children as they cross on their way to and from school. Unfortunately, no action has been taken to make this crosswalk safer for our children. There are also no plans in place to add a crossing guard when Holman Ridge Road is extended. Sadly, at a time where our governor has set aside $13 million for the Safe Routes to School program to encourage children to walk or ride their bikes to school by ensuring safer routes, this intersection will become increasingly more dangerous. Also, for the last 2 years, the Virginia PTA has been working with state delegates Brian Moran and Adam Edmond to enact legislation that would require drivers to stop at a marked crosswalk when pedestrians are present. The bills have been killed in committee, and no such legislation exists. Our county continues to improve and move forward with new development. There must be a strategy in place to keep our children safe on their way to and from school. We believe that adding a crossing guard at the intersection of Holman Ridge Road and Twin Hickory Road, particularly when this development construction begins, is a strategy that will work in this case. Waiting to see if something tragic happens is unacceptable and should not be tolerated by this board. As I have worked with the attorneys representing the family, it has been clear, I have been clear to them that at Riverside Elementary School, we're concerned about our current walkers, but we are also working to keep the children that will move into this development safe through this intersection that they will all have to walk through. The River's Edge PTA Executive Committee requests that the Board of Supervisors appropriate a second school crossing guard to River's Edge, particularly once construction begins. We also ask this board and the Planning Commission to develop an acceptable strategy to keep children who live in non-transportation zones safe on their way to and from school. Sidewalks that connect between developments, sidewalks that are not simply on the same side of the road as the school building, marked crosswalks, and additional crossing guards must be part of this strategy. We're continuing to work with Henrico County Public Schools, but the Board of Supervisors must understand what is at stake if a strategy is not developed.
Okay. Excuse me before you leave. You're concerned about currently River's Edge at the time that the new middle school opens?
This is actually when Holman Ridge Road is extended from Twin Hickory through to Lemoore. That will become a major intersection. I would be happy to have anyone come visit that intersection now when it's not cut through with car traffic and walker traffic. We have over 125 walkers, one-fourth of our school population.
Right.
We anticipate that number going higher when 90 or to 91 homes open. So we're talking about the intersection at Holman Ridge Road and Twin Hickory Road.
I know you are. But you're also asking that we address that at the time the road is open and the school.
Oh, absolutely.
That's two to maybe years away.
And I'm speaking solely on behalf of the students at River's Edge Elementary. We would hope they would be zoned for that middle school. And clearly, a school built inside of a neighborhood is going to have a non-transportation zone. So without question, when a strategy, and I hope there's a strategy being developed to keep those children safe, the middle school that's going into the neighborhood on the other side needs to be addressed as well. But I'm speaking purely for River's Edge Elementary School at this point.
Well, that's the point I was trying to understand. You're requesting that a guard be place there.
He added, we have one guard. We've been told one guard is what we get. We need two.
You had one then. Okay. All right, Ms. Manager.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
Okay.
The children of Henrico County are extremely precious to us. We're very, very much concerned about their safety. We will look at it. It is obviously something that has to be considered by the school board, and obviously the Division of Police will assist in providing any information and recommendations, but I don't believe it's appropriate to address it as a part of the rezoning case.
No, it will be addressed.
Thank you very much.
Well, you did mention sidewalks when you said that. I know, notice the proffers include information on sidewalks.
And we're delighted about
there
that.
There will be
on
sidewalks
the
on both sides.
If it is requested by the county at the time of the subdivision review.
Those are normal languages in there. There is a sidewalk policy in conformance with the walking distance of schools, and they will be.
Yeah, within a certain distance
yes.
of schools. Anyway.
And it's my understanding that those sidewalks will hook up to the sidewalks that currently exist up through the Wyndham Forest development.
I think they're proper for both sides of the Holman Ridge Road, which is.
I know that because we've been in constant communication.
Very good. Is that it? Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Karen Hamilton. I'm sure you remember from before that I happen to be a nature lover. And I'd like to know from this lady over here if there's been a study done as to whether the endangered box turtle lives on this property.
At this juncture, no.
What was that question?
I asked if there has been a study to see if the endangered box turtle lives on this property, because out where I am on King Road, we do have the endangered box turtle. I'd also like to know if there's been a study as to which migratory birds inhabit the trees.
Ms. Hamilton, I would...
When will the environmental study be done?
If you would, ma'am, if you would, please, because of the process, address your questions to the board.
Okay, so
get staff
when,
to answer them one
when will
time.
The environmental studies be done? She knows the answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was asking.
But those are questions involving the zoning case, Ms. Hamilton. I'm trying to keep the process in order for the Board of Supervisors, who must make the ultimate decision. Staff can't answer the questions, yes, ma'am, when they're called upon to do so.
Okay. Well, the thing is that you have generally ignored the Federal Migratory Bird Act, which is a law that has been around for nearly 100 years. I find it ironic that tonight you honored the Constitution, and yet a federal law, the Federal Migratory Bird Act, has been greatly ignored by the Henrico Board of Supervisors. This law says that you cannot destroy an active bird's nest with either eggs or chicks inside. There is case law on the books that goes so far as to say if there is a tree nearby and you scare the parents away, let's say you leave the tree, but you scare the parents away and they abandon the nest so that the eggs are not hatched or the chicks are not raised, you have still violated the Federal Migratory Bird Act. And this is a very important law because trees are being cut down, just clear cut. When the permit department issues a permit to the developers to go ahead and begin construction, basically the developers consider that carte blanche that they can do whatever they want, whenever they want. They don't take into account that they cannot cut down those trees during nesting season. So I would like this lady and everyone, all the other lawyers present tonight, everyone here to think about when they're cutting down trees, because you can't always see a bird's nest. Many birds and animals actually inhabit the interior of a tree. They carve out a little hole inside the tree. And some birds, like owls, are quite elusive, and they're hard to find. So I wasn't here at the previous meetings, but I did feel that you owe me an explanation, just because I didn't hear anything that I don't deserve to know the answers to those questions. And I don't appreciate you putting me off like that, Mr. Hazlett.
I'm not putting you off at all, Ms. Hamilton. I'm simply saying that there is a process of decorum in reference to public hearings before the Board of Supervisors. If we were to let you or anyone else stand at the podium disregard that, I would have utter confusion in reference to questions and answers going on. This is the body that needs to hear and make decisions. Staff is there for the reason of making presentations and answering questions that are put to them by the Board of Supervisors.
When you say staff, you mean Henrico staff or this staff?
Staff, yes, ma'am. Everyone over there.
Okay. Well, that's all I have to say on this subject, but believe me, I have some more for later.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. And I'm sure, Ms. Manager, our clearing procedures are not different from others.
They're not, Mr. Chairman. And of course, I'm sure the board we can discuss that anytime you wish, but Ms. Hamilton has raised questions before. We are concerned about her questions. I've reviewed those with the attorneys. I know exactly where we are from the legal standpoint, and of course we can discuss that at any time that you wish.
All right. Okay, is there anybody else now who has any comments or questions regarding this zoning case here this evening? As I indicated, the applicant and the staff have met with the citizens in the area on two occasions, and there have been new proffers added to address their concerns, and we have the recommendation of the staff and the Planning Commission to approve this case, and the case has been refined further since the Planning Commission to add new proffers to address further concerns on the orderly development of this property. So if there's nobody else that wants to speak, nobody's in opposition, we'll motion to approve the request with the amended proffers as stated this evening and following recommendation of the Planning Commission might be in order.
Well, Ms. Hamilton did ask one question that wasn't answered. If I can get staff to answer that question, I think Ms. Moore was going to answer it. Her question was, when will environmental studies be done? And I didn't
The response I can give you, Ms. Saban, at this time is we're considering the rezoning and use of the property. There are wetlands on the property, and when they go through, delineate that, it will have to go through the Corps of Engineers, and they effectively would probably review other environmental issues on the property.
Okay.
Well, there are also a lot of conservation areas, natural areas, that will not be disturbed. Is that right?
That's correct. They are rezoning the floodplain area and a majority of the property along the floodplain area on the Chickahominy River. If you look at the layout, you can see this area here will be retained as natural space.
Well, that'd be a natural area for all these wild creatures to
yes, sir.
Direction. Okay. Any other questions, then? The motion be in order.
I move we accept the recommendation of the Planning Commission and approve case C28C08 with the proffers given, amended proffers stated 9508.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Ms. O'Bannon and second by Mr. Donati to approve this case with the amended proffers and following the recommendation of the Planning Commission. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That's the only thing that's granted.
Still under your public hearing agenda, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 259-08. This is a resolution for POD 28-08, approval of a plan of development and master plan for the Eastern Henrico Recreation Center. This item, of course, was reviewed with you during your work session, and Ms. News will be making the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Manager, and good evening, members of the board. Tonight on your agenda is a plan of development and master plan for the Eastern Henrico Recreation Center located in the Fairfield District. I'm going to give you a brief overview of the project and then turn the presentation over to HKS Architects, who will discuss the building program in more detail. The proposed site for Eastern Henrico Recreation Center consists of three parcels with a total of approximately 25.31 acres. The two primary parcels are currently owned by the county, and the third parcel is a portion of the Fraternal Order of Police property, which is currently under contract with the county. The site is located at the intersection of Laburnum Avenue and Watts Lane, south of the intersection of Harvey Road, where the new Harvey Elementary School opened last week, and north of the intersection of Creighton and Laburnum Avenues. The site is zoned A1 and contains rolling open fields, a natural stream, and wooded areas. The existing residential structures on the property are in disrepair, have no historical value, and will be demolished with the first phase. There are no other historic features identified on the property. The master plan for the project includes a two-story, 25,770-square-foot recreation center, a multi-use athletic field for soccer, lacrosse, and football along Laburnum Avenue, and a second multi-use soccer athletic field with a running track adjacent to Sandy Lane. The vehicular entrance to the site will be developed from Watts Lane, a minor collector on the major thoroughfare plan, which will be extended and constructed with this project. There will also be road improvements to Laburnum Avenue and Sandy Lane. A concession building, picnic shelter, a restroom, parking areas, and loop trail systems will be developed north of Watts Lane, and south of Watts Lane are two additional picnic shelters, parking areas, and a looped trail system. Staff recommends approval of this master plan and the Phase 1 POD, which includes the recreation center, multi-use field, and related site improvements, subject to the conditions in the board paper. At this point, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Steve Carroll, the chief designer with HKS Architects, who will tell you more about the specifics of the design program, the building design, and the phasing of the projects.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'm joined today by Gary Simon with Burgess and Nipel, who will be talking about the site and civil engineering issues, and Brian Pounds, who's actually going to help me with technology here. I'm going to give you a few quick facts regarding the property. It was approved by the voters by referendum in 2005. The property itself, in 2006, there were 17.8 acres acquired by the county along North Burnham Avenue. in 2007, early 2007, 7.1 acres, extending the site to Sandy Lane, and in the process right now with the expectation for completion in December of 2008 is about a half acre along Watts Lane extension. The overall program for the recreation center is for a 25,770 square foot facility that will include both activity space and community space within the building. That's just in phase one. In phase two, the plan is to add 4,265 square feet, which include some additional child's activity space, a teen room, and a senior room. In comparison to some other facilities, it's Dory Community Recreation Center is 12,000 square feet, Confederate Hills Community Center is 10,000, and the Deep Run Recreation Center, recently completed, is 22,000 square feet. I'm going to pass over to Kateri here. She'll talk about the site.
Hello. As discussed earlier, this shows the overall master plan for the Eastern Henrico Recreation Center, which briefly includes a rec center, playing fields, running track, concessions, walking trails, parking, stream restoration, a wet pond with fountain, and improvements to both Laburnum and Sandy Lane. And I'd like to point out that the existing topography was utilized in laying out the site improvements for the parking, the building, and the playing fields so that the proposed recreation center, which is a two-story building, will have both an entrance at the parking level at grade as well as at the playing fields at grade, and it will create a two-story reveal along Laburnum Avenue, which is a good look, but the architects can talk about that a little more. More specifically, the phase one improvements, which are the current plan of development, which is for the current plan of development, include what is shown on the slide now, which is basically everything that's a part of the master plan except for the playing field and track on the west portion of the site and some of the walking trails as well as parking to the south of Watts Lane. And there's a show on this slide a little more specifically. The improvements to Laburnum Avenue include pavement widening along the southbound lane as well as a walking trail along the length of the property, and both turn lanes on the southbound and northbound portions of Laburnum Avenue entering the site. Watts Lane will be extended onto the site as the main entrance to the recreation center, include curb and gutter and walking trails as well. Sandy Lane will be improved with pavement widening as well as walking trails. The recreation center building with an outdoor patio, multi-use recreation field, and it will be irrigated. And there will be seating provided for the playing fields along a grass, earth, and berm that's tied into the building and the parking. And that's pretty much a brief summary of what's included in the phase one improvements.
Thank you.
For the building itself, moving ahead here, this is the upper level of the building, actually, to be access. The main access is from the west, adjacent to the parking structure. You enter into the lobby area, shown here, lobby waiting, and it's approximately 1,000 square feet. This space has views down into the weights and fitness room and also into the gymnasium below, and in fact, through the window, you can actually look outside the building and see the fields and Laburnum beyond. The activity room at the north end of the building is about 2,500 square feet. It's a facility for use for both community and learning uses. There's a multi-use classroom, 1,000 square feet, a children's activity space, approximately 500 square feet. And then as we go down the stairs or down the elevator to the lower level, the more of the activity space is within the building. There is a group and exercise dance room, about 1,683 square feet. There's weights and fitness at the north end, 2,000 square feet. And then there's a full-size gymnasium. It includes a court in one direction, and then it can also will be striped off to be volleyball courts in the other direction. And that's our presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I forgot the elevation. I apologize.
Do what?
I forgot to show what it looks like.
Okay.
Because someone may be interested. There may be gentlemen.
You did this once, right? Okay.
Yeah, you think after. I get the hang of it. The elevation down here at the bottom is actually the east elevation that faces Laburnum. This is the side that faces the street. Again, it's the two-story side of the building at the lower level. Essentially, we have split-level building here. The gymnasium's here at the lower level, and then the other activity space is down here. That outdoor patio we discussed is over here, and then you can see the berm that heads down to the fields. This is the south side of the building you'd see as you're approaching on Watts Lane. It shows the side of the gymnasium. This is the main corridor that runs north-south through the building, and then the administrative part with the service part of the building kind of tucked down below there. And then the other two elevations, here's the west side, which is the main entrance to the facility with this trellis over the top of it. You can see the metal standing roof, seam roof. The materials, we chose the materials and colors that would fit in with the natural landscape out there, very soft colors, and we used materials like the stone and some ground-faced CMU as the primary materials with the metal seam roof at the top. The north elevation, again, you can see the outdoor patio space here, the berm down to the playing field down below, and then the elevation of the gymnasium space beyond.
Okay. Oh, thank you. This certainly is a very attractive and functional recreation center, 27,000 square feet plus, and the board has had an opportunity to review this in a great deal of detail in our work session earlier, and unless the board has any further questions, I would like, this is a public hearing, and anybody is welcome to comment or ask any questions concerning this new structure. Is anybody in the audience?
Yeah, over there. Two people raising.
All right. Did you want to say something? Somebody? Yeah.
Okay. Please come to the podium.
Yeah. Well, Ms. Madge, it's part of a bond referendum that was approved by the citizens back in 2005. And Ms. Madge, you might want to comment on those numbers.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Hamilton, it's a little over $13 million, which is scheduled for this consideration. We've not gone to bid with it. That will occur in 2009, but approximately a little over 13, about 13.3, as I recall, was allocated for this project.
Hey, ma'am. Albert Strother. I am a landowner, property owner, right at 2909 Sandy Lane, and my question is more of a point of information. The extension of Watts Lane, is that going to come... I'm right in that Sandy Hook curve where Watts Lane dead end. That extension, that's coming near the church, further up on Sandy Lane. I'm sorry, I need to address you. But sorry. I wanted to know where the extension of Watts Lane is actually going to come into place.
Extension of Watts Lane will not be considered with Phase 1. It's doubtful that it would be considered with Phase 2 because we do not own property on either side of it except coming off of Laburnum Avenue. We would, in essence, create a temporary turnaround or cul-de-sac with the development of this recreation center. As development occurred in the area, we would extend by development that particular extension of Watts Lane. To show you exactly where it is, I would ask Mr. Priest, as the Director of Public Works, to look on a map with you, and we could almost show you about where it is, because I believe it's fairly definite where we begin and where we end.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Priest, if you would help him by getting a name or your map, sir. Take him to the back, if you would, Lee.
Good evening. I didn't plan to speak when I came out here tonight, but I can only say hip, hip, hooray at last that there's a place for these kids to come in off the street. And I do not think that this building should be even thought about in the same ways that you think about Dory Park and some of their other centers. I think that this building is an outreach of two ladies who have consistently come before this board and asked for some place that their kids could come in off of the street. And I am sure that both of their kids are grown people. My only question is, how much room do we have while these students can be tutored? Because education is the answer to our crime problem. Thank you.
Gatewood, I don't believe you identified yourself for the record.
I think I'm Gatewood Stoneman.
We know who you are.
I'm sorry that I didn't do that.
Okay, we know. Thank you for your comments. And
but I would like to know how many rooms